Thank you, and good evening all. It's a real pleasure and privilege to be here with you around the throne of grace and around the Word of God. I'm glad to see so many of you gather tonight, and I trust the Lord will bless you as you've come together. I'd like to express a sincere welcome to our good friends, Mr. and Mrs. Entage, whom you know very well. They go to our fellowship in Markham Assembly in Ontario, and we had spent a very happy week with them. Just 2 weeks ago, we came from their home to here, and it's good to see them again. Will you turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. Thus far, we've been looking into the 24th chapter of this Gospel, to the first chapter of the Olivet Discourse. And let me remind you very briefly of what we've considered. We thought of the Lord's second coming as it's presented in this great discourse. And we noticed that the particular aspect of the second coming of Christ is the aspect of his return to the earth to reign, his coming with his people 7 or more years after the rapture when we are caught up to be with him. So this is the subject of all this discourse. We can probably divide the discourse into 4 sections. First of all, we have been thinking of the signs of his coming. And we read that from verse 4 of chapter 24 down to about verse 35 or so. The signs of his coming. And then from verse 36 to verse 41, we have the suddenness of his coming. You might say the time of his coming. And then from verse 42 onwards to the end of verse 30 of chapter 25, we have the stimulus of his coming. The Word of God says a great deal about prophecy, but it's always with a view to encourage us in our Christian lives, to apply the principles of the Word to our lives. So that's the stimulus of his coming. And we noted on Sunday evening that there are some parables in this passage. The first 2 parables and the one that we're going to consider on Sunday morning of the 10 virgins speak about watching, the stimulus to watch. The one we're going to look at this evening from verse 14 to 30 is the parable of the talents, and the subject of that is a stimulus to work for the Lord Jesus. And then on Sunday evening in our closing study, we're going to think of the last section, which is the sequel to his coming. When he's coming, there's going to be a gathering of the Gentiles, and there's going to be the judgment of the Gentile nations, as we'll see on Sunday evening. Now, perhaps you're wondering why we've skipped over the first 13 verses or so of chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. Well, there's a good reason, and that reason is that I'm reserving it for Sunday morning, for this particular parable lends itself to presentation of the gospel, and we hope that there'll be those there on Lord's Day morning who will need the Savior and perhaps will trust him then. Let's begin our reading at verse 13 of chapter 25. Verse 13 says, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man travelling into a far country, who called his own servants, and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he also that had received 2 also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee. Thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or interest. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him who has 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lord will, I am sure, bless to us the reading of his holy word. Again, let me remind you that this parable is really concerning primarily believers who will be on the earth during the tribulation period, awaiting the return of the Lord from heaven to earth. But the principles that are presented in this parable are equally applicable to you and me, as we are awaiting the time of his return to the air to take us to be forever with himself. And that time when he comes, we're going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to give an account of the things done in the body. And so there are very important principles to be held and studied in this particular passage. The parable that we have read is a parable of service. Now, every one of us is called to be a servant. Service is not limited to those who are Bible teachers or gospel preachers or shepherds, or leaders, or whatever. Service is applicable to you, to every one of us. Every one of us has a responsibility to serve the Lord. You may remember that in the Epistle to the Colossians, the Apostle Paul wrote to different groups, husbands and wives, and servants and masters and children. And to servants he said these words, You who serve an earthly master, remember that you serve the Lord Christ. These who were engaged as slaves of earthly masters had a very high responsibility. Theirs was the dignified position of serving the Lord of glory, the Lord Christ. And the way the writer puts that indicates what an honor it is to serve the Lord Christ. Now that same could be said about you and about me. All of us, whatever abilities we have to serve the Lord Christ. And we should devote our talent and our ability to his great service. What an honor, but what a responsibility. There are 4 vital elements, perhaps more, but I'm going to suggest to you 4 vital elements that are essential in the Lord's service. The first element is ability. Ability. And every one of us has some ability. Differs in kind and in amount from one to the other. But every one of us has got some ability. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have some ability. Of course, we are born with ability. And we develop ability during our lifetime. Through life, we develop that ability. We use it for ourselves. And we use it for one another. And we should, as we become believers in the Lord Jesus, we have a responsibility to use that ability for the Lord and his work. Some of us have special ability. we call that talent. Some of us were thinking about that last evening in our home Bible study. We have talent. But if we have talent, we should direct that talent into the service of the Lord. But whether we have a talent or not, every one of us has another ability. Every one of us has a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift that is God-given, which we receive when we trust the Savior, and which we have responsibility to use for Him. Over and over again in the four passages in the Scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 12, and Romans 12, and also 1 Peter 4 and Ephesians 4, we'll read about spiritual gifts. We read the words, as everyone has received the gift. That means every one of us, brothers and sisters alike, every one of us has received at least one gift, and it's our business to find out what that gift is and to put it into use in the service of the Lord. First, then, there is ability. But there's secondly, availability. Ability counts for very little if we're not available to use it. And so it's important for every believer to make himself available to use whatever gift God has given him and whatever service he has called us to for the glory of the Lord. And the third ability is adaptability. Adaptability. We need to adapt our service and our ability in that service for the Lord. We need to adapt it to the special circumstances in which we are serving him, and in the special, among the best special people. For example, if you have an ability with children, then you should adapt that to the children that you're serving the Lord for in the presence of these. Adaptability. But finally, there is accountability. And that is the prime lesson of this parable. There are three servants in the parable, and we are told in verse 19 of this parable, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. That reckoning is their accountability. He's going to take an account of what they have done, and every one of us is going to give an account of the things done in the body. That's accountability. Each of us is accountable at all stages of our life. As children, we were accountable to our parents. When we grew to adult life, we became accountable to our family and to our friends, to our church, to our Sunday school leader or elders in the church. But supremely, all of us are accountable to the Lord. And one day we're going to give an account. As a matter of fact, the Lord takes us into account day by day in our service for Him. One day He's going to take us into account, and we have a responsibility. Daniel Webster, the great American statesman and lawyer and editor of last century, once said, "The most important thought I ever had was that of my individual responsibility to God." That's a very important thought. We are accountable to the Lord. I'm sure you're acquainted with another parable. In many respects, it's very similar to this parable. And when I said that, I'm sure many of you are thinking and knowing what it is. It's the parable of the pounds. It's a parable that's recorded, as the Lord spoke it, by the Gospel of Luke. Luke took this parable, and these parables are very similar. So similar that some people, commentators, I understand many commentators that I've not read, believe that they were identical parables. The Lord only spoke one parable, but Luke put it in a different form, a different way. Well, let's think of the similarities. If you want to look at Luke's gospel for this parable, you'll find it in chapter 19, and you'll find that there are similarities. First of all, they were both spoken by the Lord, obviously, and near the end of his life, just on the eve of Calvary. Then secondly, they both depict his departure, like a man going into a far country, leaving his servants and coming back again. Thirdly, they both anticipate his return. The Lord cometh back. And he often spoke about that towards the end of his ministry. Fourthly, they are both primarily concerned with the responsibilities of his people in his absence. One in the pounds and one in the talents concerned the responsibility of the people of the Lord after his departure to serve him faithfully. And then fifthly, both emphasize the reckoning that follows his return. We've read that already. The servant, the Lord comes to his servants and reckons with them. That reckoning applies to both the pounds and the talents. And then both stress the importance of faithfulness in our service for the Lord. Look what we read in verse 21. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful servant. That is true, too, of the parable of the pounds. And then we notice that both of these parables have two faithful servants and one unfaithful servant. So when you put all these things together, it seems that you have the same parable repeated by Luke that Matthew records in Matthew. But as we examine in detail these parables, you discover there are sufficient differences to point out that these are not the same parable. They are two different parables, and it's interesting to notice the differences. First of all, they were told in different circumstances. It's true that they were both told later in the life of the Lord Jesus, preceding his death, but it's evident that the parable of the pounds was told on the way to Jerusalem before the Lord's Day, the Sunday before his death. That's what we call Palm Sunday, when he entered into Jerusalem. It's recorded by Luke then. As a matter of fact, it's recorded by Luke two chapters before the record of the Olivet Discourse by Luke. And so it wasn't at the same time, it was a different time. Secondly, there were two audiences that had these two parables. In the parable in Luke's Gospel, the parable of the pounds, it was the crowd that was with the Lord Jesus. The Lord spoke to them. In this parable, as we saw earlier in chapter 24 of Matthew, the disciples came privately to the Lord and asked him, "What shall be the sign of thy coming? And when shall these things be?" What and when? The disciples were given a private message in the Olivet Discourse. And then we notice, thirdly, that there were different purposes in these two parables. In the parable of the pounds, the purpose was because they thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear. We are told at the very beginning of the parable that he taught them this parable because they thought the kingdom of heaven was very near. And the Lord told them the story of a man going into a far country, coming again, emphasizing the distance and the delay that the Lord would have before he came. Whereas the story of Matthew 25 is one that deals with the fact that the Lord is coming and they have to be faithful in his absence, but should live and work for him, expecting him at any moment. And then finally, the important differences are in the content of these two parables. And let's try to notice the content of this parable and compare it with that of the parable of the pound. First of all, of course, there were different monies given. One was pounds, one was talents. And you may say, what's the difference between a pound and a talent? Well, there's quite a big difference. A pound was the amount that a person got for 3 months of work. 3 months' wages was £1. Whereas a talent was the equivalent of 15 years' service. That's about 60 times the worth of a pound. And so the man with 5 talents received sufficient for 75 years. That was a large sum of money. A great sum of money for each of these talents. And then we notice the purpose of these gifts that they were given. In the pounds, the purpose and the amount was relatively small. In each case, it was only £1, as we'll see in a moment. And that relatively small amount was a test of faithfulness. See, the Lord of those servants was testing them. He knew he was going to come back. He knew he was going to have a kingdom. And he wanted to be sure that the people who had in important positions in the kingdom were the right persons. And so he gave each a pound, not one more than another, but each the same, as a test of their ability, an assessment of their fitness for responsibility in the master's kingdom. But in the talent, it was a different purpose. The talent was part of the master's goods. Look at verse 14, the end of the verse. He called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. The master here is giving his goods, a great amount of possessions, to these servants. He delivered unto them his goods. And they became not only servants, but they were stewards. To them was committed the responsibility of administering what belonged to the master. You know, you and I are in that position. Each one of us is a steward. And the master has given us responsibilities, and he's given us the wherewithal to fulfill these responsibilities. And it's our business to put into practice in our service, in our lives, what the Lord has committed to us. We have a responsibility for that. And then, of course, there's an important difference between the two parables in the relative amounts that were given to the servants in each case. In the parable of the pounds, each person, the 10 people, received only 1 pound. Whereas in the parable of the talents, as we read, one received 5 talents, one received 2 talents, and one received 1 talent. What were these talents? Well, I believe they weren't the same as what we think of as talents. When we think of a talent, we think of some special ability that has been given to us in daily life, and it's applicable not only to the Lord's people, to believers, but to unbelievers as well, for they have talents as well. And if you have a talent now, probably you had it before you were saved, you knew about it. Talents are abilities that are given to people who are believers as well as unbelievers. At least that's how we think of it. But I don't think the Lord is using it in that sense. Look, for example, at verse 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. So you see, that means that the talent wasn't the ability, but it was the responsibility and the opportunity of serving the master with what he was given, with what he was given. And that's true today. A talent really is the opportunity and the responsibility of serving the Lord with what he has given to us. Let's turn now to the application of this. This is the important part of our study. The application to us now, as we are awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus. He may come at any moment, as we've seen so often. And when he comes, we are going to meet him in the air, and we are going to pass before his judgment seat. And we're going to give an account of the things done by means of the body. We are going to give an account to him and receive his commendation and reward, if that is appropriate. Well, the pound represents what each person, each believer, has in common. I think you would agree with that. A pound, each one of these 10 persons was given a pound. That represents what we have in common. There are some things that we all have in common. You have the same as I have, and I have the same as you have. Think of a number of these things that we have in common. First of all, we have the gospel. The gospel. The same gospel that reached you here in Canada, in the US, or wherever, reached me in Scotland long ago. It seems a long time ago, but it was the same gospel. And no difference between the gospel that reached me and the gospel that reached you. And there's no difference in the gospel that I should preach and the gospel that you should preach. That's a common pound that each one of us has. Each one of us has the gospel, the same as every other believer. And therefore we have a responsibility to the Lord to tell others that gospel every one of us as well. Think of something else that we have. We have a Bible. My Bible is the same as yours. How many books are in your Bible? I'm sure you know there are 66 of them. 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. I don't have an extra book in my Bible. They're all in a common Bible. We have all the same Bible. And therefore we have a responsibility, likewise each, to read it, to apply it, to obey it, to use it. That's our responsibility. Just as each of them had 1 pound, it's our responsibility with our one Bible to use it for the Lord. Think of something else that we have. We've come this evening to a prayer meeting. A number of the brethren have prayed. But I trust all of us prayed tonight. Every one of us should be praying at the prayer meeting. And of course, we shouldn't only be praying at the prayer meeting. We should be praying at other times in our lives. Prayer is something like a pound that each of us has in common. I don't have any easier access into the presence of the Lord than you have. We are all responsible to pray. We can all draw near to Him and pray. We can all draw near to our great High Priest and present to Him our petitions, seek His help in time of need. That's something that you have to do and that I have to do. It's common with us all, prayer. Let me tell you something else, or someone else, that we have in common. We have the Holy Spirit in common. The Holy Spirit. The moment we trusted Christ as our Savior, that moment we received the Holy Spirit. He's never left us. We cannot pray like the psalmist, or we shouldn't pray like the psalmist, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me," for God has promised He would be with us forever. The Spirit of God is with the believer forever. However, we have a responsibility to that Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility to be filled with the Spirit. To be filled with the Spirit simply means to be possessed by Him. It means to be indwelt and infilled and under His control. To be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's possible for us to go through our lives with the Holy Spirit and yet not be under His control. It's possible, but it shouldn't be. We should seek to have the Spirit controlling our lives. These are some of the things we have in common. There's one thing else I would suggest. It was Mr. E.W. Rogers, I don't know if you've ever heard of him, an outstanding Bible teacher. When I was younger, he stayed with us in our home in Canada when he was over visiting in North America. I don't know if I've had anybody more outstanding as a student and teacher of the Word of God. I had the privilege of taking him when he was with us in Kingston, Ontario, to another assembly in Trenton, Ontario, and he spoke in the parable of the pounds. And what he said then struck me. He was considering what was the pound. And he pointed out that in that parable, there was a reference to the Lord's money. Well, the same is true here. Let's look at verse 18, verse 18. He that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Now that word money is really the word silver. Silver. The money is a word silver coin. And Mr. Rogers pointed out that night that silver in the Bible is a picture of redemption. Silver was used for redemption of the firstborn. In the Old Testament, redemption. And if that's the case, then he suggested that the money, the pound, that was used then, should speak of a redeemed life. One redeemed life. And that would suggest that each one of us should present our one redeemed life to the Savior to be used by Him. There we have, as I suggest, the application regarding the pound. Now what about the talent? Every one of us has been given a pound, one the same as all, but everyone also has been given a talent. As I said, talents are not just our ability, but the opportunities and responsibilities that are given to us in accordance with our ability. Look at verse 15 again. Each one according to his several ability. And that means that we have a responsibility to use what God has given to us. All of us have different abilities. Some of us have great abilities. Billy Graham has a great ability as an evangelist. All of you have known Bible teachers who had great abilities in that realm of Bible teaching. You may have a special ability in teaching young children, or in some other sphere of service, you may have a great ability. But you see, that gift, that talent, or whatever, how many talents you have received, whether five or two or one, belongs to the Lord. And it's our responsibility to use it for Him. We have a responsibility. Our responsibility is greater if the gift is greater. At the judgment seat of Christ, Billy Graham is going to have a greater responsibility than you and I will have. And great Bible teachers will stand before the Lord with a greater responsibility because the Lord has given them a great gift. Now I know their responsibility to use that gift and the way they use the gift is an indication of the faithfulness of that person. They'll be judged dependent on their faithfulness. Even the one talent man, I believe if he had used his talent better and made another talent, only one, the others doubled their talents, and they got the same reward, as we'll see in a moment. If this one talent man had only doubled his talent, he would have got the same reward. So you can see that each one of us, however little or great our ability, is going to be rewarded by the Lord Jesus. He recognized that that talent wasn't his own. Let's notice what he says in verse 25. I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, here, there thou hast, that is thine. In other words, he was recognizing that the talent that he had wasn't his own, but that it was the Lord's. That's the same with us. The talent we have given, whether one talent, two talents, or five talents, it's the Lord's, and we should use it for him. It may be significant that the Lord put it this way. It may be significant that he didn't say the five talent man dug a hole and put his talent in it. Maybe significant he didn't say that about the two talent man. It was the one talent man. And unfortunately and sadly, it sometimes is the case that a believer who feels that he has a limited talent says, well, I can't preach like him, and I can't speak to children like him, and I can't teach the word of God like him, and I can't visit like her, or whatever. And they say, well, I don't have anything. And so they dig a hole and bury their talent in the ground. And at the end, what have they to show for it? Just a hole in the ground. It's important for us to recognize whatever talent we have to use it for the Lord. I suspect if that talent had used it and made two talents, he would have got the same commendation as the others. Well, let's look at that reward and that commendation. Let's notice verse 21, the man with the five talents has brought his five talents more to the Lord. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And the one with only two talents came back. He'd only got two talents with him. But let's notice what the Lord said. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Now you'll notice that the commendation of the master of the five talent man who had made five talents was identical with the commendation of the two talent man who had made two talents. That's very significant. That's very important. Don't let's be concerned about not having the same ability as other people have. At the judgment seat of Christ, the question will not be the ability we have, but the faithfulness with which we discharge that ability. And that's the important thing. It's interesting to notice the reward that was given. First of all, let's notice these two people, the five-talent man and the two-talent man, were first commended and approved. Well done, good and faithful servant. Wouldn't you like to have that commendation at the judgment seat of Christ? I think that's the best thing could ever be said about us. Well done, good and faithful servant. I'd love the Lord to say that to me. I'm not sure that he will say it. But that's what we should strive for, to be faithful to him. Not to be successful, although it's a good thing to be successful, but to be faithful to him. But he's not only commended and improved and approved, but he was entrusted and rewarded. Notice, I will make thee ruler over many things. He was given a new trust. He'd been 2 talents before, or 5 talents. Now he's given more, many things. And that's going to happen to us at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give a new trust. We're going to get a new appointment. An appointment to serve our Master in eternity. And then finally, he was honored and blessed. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. How important that would be. What a joy that would be to enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's what the people got who had 5 talents and used them well, or 2 talents and used them well. And I'm sure the 1 talent would have got the same reward if he had used it well. There was, of course, the wicked servant, so-called in both parables, many who consider their little ability fail to use what they have. I've already mentioned that. The 1 talent servant had just, if he had only added 1 talent, he could have had 2 talents, and he would have been honored and blessed by the master. But what happened? He was cast into outer darkness. He was an unprofitable servant. I believe personally that this man represents an unbeliever who professes to be a believer. There are many of these in the world today. They have never really come to a knowledge of Christ. And so the Lord Jesus says about them in this parable, cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's a sad thing for somebody to act as a servant and not to be faithful to the master and not really belong to him at all. I believe in the parable of the pounds, the one who didn't get any reward wasn't cast into outer darkness. And he may have been a representative of a believer who has not used his pound for the glory of God. But what a sad thing that if any one of us here should fail to use what he has given us for his glory. Well, there's more we could say about this parable, but we must close because of the time factor. And I trust the Lord will challenge our hearts and challenge our lives so that we may serve him with what he has given to us and be used for him and his glory. Let's bow together in prayer.